Hey everyone, welcome to the Southside Church podcast from Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. We're praying that hope would rise in your life as you listen to this message today.
I know what you're thinking. Mike, you blend in with the foliage. You're incredible. Yes, I do, and yes, I am. Hey, thanks. This is a fifth of five services, so I actually have no idea what's about to happen. Thanks for putting up with the traffic and the parking. I always find for me when I'm a little frustrated, it's good to just know someone to blame. So I want to blame it completely on Dave Poole. No, listen, because last service, this is what he said. He said to the people at the end of the service, hey, come out and join us. Grab some food at the food truck. Don't be in a hurry. Just hang out. And I felt like saying, grab some food and leave. There's other people trying to come. But anyways, that's where Dave and I are just a little bit different. It's incredible that today, all over the world, in big cities and tiny little villages, in wealthy nations and impoverished countries, in freezing cold and scorching heat, men and women, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, are gathered together, or sometimes completely alone, to celebrate something that we call Easter. And today, what I want to do is together, whether you're in overflow in this room, whether you're joining us online, I want to look at why. It's funny because sometimes when people look at the story of Easter, they might summarize it this way. Well, it's kind of like the end of the Jesus story, which I understand how somebody could think that, but it's actually not correct. And it certainly doesn't explain why we're still celebrating 2,000 years later. I think a more accurate way to describe Easter would be this. It's the beginning of a great story called salvation. Another way that I might phrase it is this way. Easter is like the opening line of the greatest story forever told. It's like the opening line in the greatest story forever told. And in light of that, I want to give you a pop quiz. I'm going to read you some opening lines from books, okay? And we'll see how you do. They're pretty tough. Last night, though, one lady got every single one, like, genius, okay? So, here's the first one. You may have had to read this in middle school, okay? That's a hint. When I stepped out into the bright sunlight from the darkness of the movie house, I had only two things on my mind, Paul Newman and a ride home. Yes, boom, you are amazing. I wish I had a Wonder Bar to give you right now or something like that. That's good job, good job. This is my favorite book in all the world, though I've never read it. Princess Bride. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4, Privet Drive, were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. Which one? You got it. Once there were 4 children whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. One more. Kind of a cheerful one. Here's a small fact. You are going to die. Happy Easter, Pastor Mike. Wow. Here's a small fact. You are going to die. Surveys show that the number one fear of Canadians is the fear of public speaking. Number 8 is the fear of strangers. Number 11 actually is the fear of clowns, which I found actually really surprising. I thought it would be way higher, like top 5 for sure. It's funny because every once in a while, I'll have somebody come up to me and say, hey, Mike, for the Easter celebration this weekend, are there going to be clowns at Southside? You know, like at fall kickoff, are we going to bring some clowns in at the summer celebration at Christmas this year? And I want to help you with that. If you've ever thought of asking that question or you know somebody who's thought of asking that question, I will tell you what the answer will always be. No, absolutely not. Because clowns are weird and creepy, okay? I realize in a group this big, there's at least one person that's like, well, that's my part-time job, you know? Like, I'm a clown. And I just want to say I'm sorry. That you're weird and creepy. Okay. It's funny, though, isn't it? We all know those surveys are wrong. We don't even pause to give it thought. Like, the number one fear of Canadians is public speaking. Well, no, it's not. You know that, and I know that. See, there's this universal fear, this fear that's covered all of human history that we take for granted to such a degree that we understand that everything else is kind of vying for number two. And of course, that fear is the fear of death. You see it everywhere around you. Like, one of the greatest compliments that you can pay somebody is to say this to them: man, you are looking younger. You're looking younger. What are you really saying when you say that? What you're saying is this: it's something amazing about you. The entire world is moving towards this finish line called death, but you jammed it into reverse, man. Like, you're incredible. You're moving away from it. We love that. You're looking younger. People go to great lengths to look younger. Got this thing called Botox that people inject into their face. And I was looking it up this week, and Botox is short for two words: botulinum toxin, which I found kind of disconcerting because both of the words kind of scare me. Botulinum sounds a lot like botulism, okay? And toxin sounds a lot like toxin, okay? So I'm just like, no judgment though, actually. I should say no. If someone came up to me and said, hey man, I could slam some of that in your face and you'd be better looking, I'd probably go for it. But the point is this. The point is this. As a culture, we spend billions of dollars every year trying to look as if we're moving this way instead of that way. But here's a small fact. You are going to die. And it's that morbid realization, I believe, that explains why all over the world today, in big cities and tiny villages, in freezing cold and scorching heat, men and women, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, are celebrating Easter still. See, the point is this, that a couple thousand years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was arrested, beaten, mocked. He was nailed to a Roman cross where he suffered and died. But on the third day, he rose again. And what he did when he did that was he defeated death. Not just for him, but for all time and all people. That's the point. So earlier I said to you that Easter was the beginning of this great story called salvation that's playing out all over the world right until this present moment. Another way you've heard it expressed is this way: Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves us from death and gives us life. He saves us from death and he gives us life. Jesus saves. Salvation. Jesus saves. It plays out in the day-to-day, and it will play out on that day. I want to express that and explain that by talking today about four of the meetings that Jesus had on that first Easter Sunday, after Jesus stepped out of the empty tomb, four of the meetings that he had. The first one is incredibly inspiring to me. The first person Jesus met with after he stepped out of that empty tomb was just crazy. It was a woman named Mary Magdalene. I love it so, so much. See, Mary Magdalene, you have to understand, she was someone in that culture, well, we might say this, she had a checkered past, you know? She had a nasty and broken reputation. How did she get it? Listen, how did she get a nasty and broken reputation? The same way we all do. It always plays out the same. This is how you get a nasty and broken reputation. Your world is broken by this broken world. And then you try and you try and you try to fix what is broken. And sometimes you make it better, but sometimes you make it worse. And then you get a nasty and broken reputation. In that culture, they would have called Mary Magdalene morally unclean. And as she walked around, she would have seen people look at her with disgust. You're just gross. She would have seen people look at her with disdain. You're not just gross, you're less than. You're inferior. Or maybe they looked at her with desire. Certain men would have looked at Mary Magdalene in that culture and said, oh, I know what you're good for. Oh, I know who you are. You're a means to an end. And that's the life that she would have lived. But one day, she met Jesus. And when Jesus looked at her, it was unlike anyone who had ever looked at her before. She didn't see disgust. She didn't see disdain. She didn't see desire. She saw delight. When Jesus looked at her, it was as if he was saying this: you're delightful, you're beautiful, you're valuable, and you're loved. But I want you to stop and I want you to think, because this is Easter Sunday, early morning Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus die on the cross. So what she would have experienced is this, a death of dignity. Because what she's got to be thinking is that she's going back to those days where she's just the woman with a broken and nasty reputation. Someone who people look at with disgust and disdain. But then Jesus shows up. And of all the people in the world to meet with, he met with her. And we've talked a little bit about opening lines, first words. You won't believe what Jesus said to her. The first word he spoke to her was this, Mary. He said her name. That's powerful, right? That's so powerful in our culture. Even for you and me, if I speak your name, I'm saying, I know you. I see you. You matter. I want you to understand the power of that meeting on that first Easter. Jesus was saying, Mary, I see you. I know you. I know your past. I know your present. I know your future. And I love you. And Mary, I don't know what they say about you, but they're wrong. You're delightful. You're beautiful. You're valuable and you're loved. One of the next meetings that Jesus had on that first Easter Sunday was with a man named Peter. Peter experienced when Jesus died what I would refer to as a death of identity. See, Peter had been a very successful fisherman, but he gave that up to become a follower of Jesus. Wait, not just a follower, he was the leader of the 12 disciples. Kind of a big deal, you know? People would have looked at Peter and said, strong leader, good communicator. He is somebody. The thing about Peter, though, is sometimes he blew it. One of the greatest illustrations, of course, is shortly before Jesus was arrested. It's like Peter walked up to Jesus and he put his arm around Jesus and he pointed at the other 11 disciples. And he said, hey, Jesus, just so you know, even if these 11 losers let you down, I never will. You see these wing nuts? Probably can't count on them. But me, I got you. And then Jesus was arrested. And a spirit of fear overcame Peter to such a degree that he denied even knowing Jesus three times. Again, I think we have to try just a little bit to put ourselves back in that moment. Because maybe you look and say, well, yeah, I know it didn't work out for Peter. I guess he could go back to being a fisherman. Yeah, I guess you're right. But remember, he'd go back to being a fisherman with a brand new identity, loser and failure. A failure because he said, Jesus, even if these wing nuts let you down, I never will. And a loser because he's been following Jesus for years, convinced that this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah, and then he died on a cross. Now you get the sense that Peter and Jesus had a number of conversations after Jesus rose. But the one that really jumps to my mind today is Peter and Jesus sitting on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus asked Peter this question. He says, hey, Peter, do you love me? Which is kind of crazy. Because on some level, wouldn't you expect that what Jesus would have asked Peter that day, hey, Peter, even after you denied me, even after you biffed it completely, hey, do you know that I love you? Doesn't ask him that. Why? Oh, because Peter knows Jesus loves him. It was Jesus himself who said this, there's no greater display of love than this, to lay down your life for your friends. And Peter had watched Jesus do that. He knew that Jesus loved him. That wasn't the question. The question Jesus asked was so important. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you trust me, Peter? Because if you do, listen, if you do, here's what you get to stop. You get to stop running and running and running and running after your identity. I gotta be a success. I gotta be a winner. I gotta be somebody. I gotta be popular. I gotta matter. I gotta be the man. I gotta be the woman. Jesus says, do you love me? Do you trust me? Because if you do, you can stop running. And you can rest in this, Peter. I love you. You're a child of your heavenly Father. You start, Peter, you started out as a dream in the mind of God. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. You can stop running and you can rest. The next meeting I want to talk about wasn't actually with an individual. It was a group of 50 people. So early on the morning, Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from death to life. But later on that late afternoon, early evening, there was a group of about 50 followers of Jesus, men and women, in a locked room. A locked room because they had seen what happened to Jesus, and everyone knew they were followers of him, and so they were scared it was going to happen to them. So they're huddled together in a locked room. What happened next is incredible to me. Locked room, right? 50 people. Jesus showed up. Like, the resurrected Jesus body wasn't like the old body. It wasn't like the body that you and I have right now. He just walked through the wall and appeared in the room, which is very, very cool. Because sometimes when you read the Bible, you make it super boring, right? Like, you imagine that even as I explain it, as Jesus walks into the room and is like, greetings. But of course he didn't do that. Jesus is a passionate person. I would imagine he jumped in and was like, boom! I'm gonna talk about that resurrection body in a few minutes, but I wanna talk to you about what those 50 people had experienced that day. They had experienced what I would call death of a dream. They were followers of Jesus, and they had some aspirations, they had some hopes, and they had some dreams. They thought maybe Jesus could become a great political leader, maybe the greatest political leader ever. Gather great power, at least enough power that he could get rid of the Romans and set the Jewish people free. That was their dream, that was their hope. And then they watched Jesus die on a Roman cross. Death of a dream. That's why it's so important to note the first word that Jesus spoke when he showed up in that locked room with 50 people. The first word he spoke was this: peace. Man, I love that. We need peace in 2024. Peace said this to those 50 people. Hey, you know what? The regrets from your past, I'll look after them. And the fears that you have for the future, I'll take care of those too. I'll take care of those too. So you know what you can do? You can have peace in this spectacular moment. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine being in that room? The fourth meeting I want to talk about today, to me, is the most powerful. Jesus meets with his mom. I think it would be safe to say that of all those people who witnessed everything that Jesus walked through, everything that Jesus endured, I would say the person who suffered the most would have been his mom. I think that as his mom stood there, she would remember Jesus as a little baby, rubbing his back, patting his back, and yet as she stood there, she watched his back literally torn apart by a Roman instrument of torture known as the cat of nine tails. I think Mary would have remembered when Jesus was just a little boy learning to walk, taking his little hand in her hand and giving him support as he took those steps. And yet Mary would have stood there and watched Jesus' hands pinned to a cross. I think as Mary stood there, she would have remembered all the opportunities and all the moments she had to kiss his face. Probably as recently as just days earlier. But now as she looked at his face, it was marred by all the beatings. It was obscured by the blood that would have been pouring down because of the crown of thorns that was shoved down upon his brow. And for me, as I was praying and thinking and preparing for this moment, I was trying to think of a way to describe what Mary would have been experiencing. And the best way I can say it to you today would be this: it would be like a death of daylight. There are certain things that can happen in your life where you step out of them and it feels like all is darkness. That everything is night. That you're living from now on in shades of gray. I believe that's where Mary would have been. A death of daylight. And I just find it so beautiful and so kind that Jesus made a point. He made a point of showing up and talking to his mom. And the first words he spoke to his mom, who had endured a death of daylight, were real simple. You know what he said? Good morning. You get it? Hey, Mom, it feels like it's all dark right now, but the sun is rising. It feels like you're trapped in perpetual dusk, but the dawn is on its way. It feels like the rest of your life is shades of gray, but here's the thing, Mom, you're about to step into living color. Good morning. I guess on this Easter Sunday of 2024, I would just ask you this simple question. Can you relate? I wonder if you can relate to Mary Magdalene. I wonder if you might say that there was a time in your life, maybe even right now, when you have a nasty and broken reputation. You feel like other people look at you with disgust or disdain. How did you get that broken reputation? Oh, it's always the same. Your world was broken by this broken world. And then you tried and you tried and you tried to make it better, and sometimes you did, but sometimes you made it worse. As I was praying for you last night, something hit me, and I want to try to express it correctly. I thought to myself about how other people can say derogatory things to you. And I feel like God made a point to me, and he wanted me to ask you, who's the person in the world who speaks the most derogatory things to you? Because I think I know who it is. I think it's you. I guess what I'm saying is I think to some degree we can all relate to Mary Magdalene. And in this moment, what I believe is that Jesus wants to speak to you. And I think what you'll find he speaks in this moment is just your name. He knows you. He sees you. He cares. And I believe what he wants to say to you today is like, I'm not sure what they've been saying about you. I'm not even so sure about you, what you've been saying about you. But Jesus says, they are wrong, and you might be wrong too, because you are delightful, you're beautiful, you're valuable, and you're loved. I wonder if maybe you can relate a little bit to Peter. He's just running and running and running and running for his identity, running to matter, running to be somebody, running to be a winner, running to be a success. And I wonder if you find that it's kind of exhausting. And sometimes further, no matter how much you get, it feels like it's never enough. Because I think that Jesus wants to speak to you in this moment and just ask you a real simple question. Do you love me? Because if you love him, because he loves you, that's unequivocal. He proved that once and for all. He loves you completely and totally. But if you love him and you trust him, what's going to eventually happen is you're going to stop running. And you're just going to rest. Oh, you are? You're a child of your heavenly Father. You started out as a dream in the mind of God. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And you know what's crazy? If you read the Bible carefully, here's one of the things that you'll notice. That God takes special delight in taking the so-called weak people in this world and doing powerful things through weak people. He takes special delight in taking the so-called foolish people in this world and doing brilliant things through foolish people. He takes special delight in the so-called losers in this world and bring great victories through them. You don't have to run anymore. You can rest in that. I'm wondering if maybe you can relate a little bit to those 50 people in the room. The truth is your dreams have died, or at least some of them have. That marriage didn't work out the way you thought it would. Your family didn't work out the way that you hoped, the way that you dreamed. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's some of your friendships. But so often, the way that we expect things to go, things don't always go the way that we hoped, the way that we dreamed, the way that we expected. And if you can relate a little bit to that today, I would want to just invite Jesus to speak to you. And I think there's a word that he'd like to speak to you right now, and that word is peace. You know, all the regrets from the past, he'll look after those. You know, the fears that you have for the future, he'll cover those. The word is peace. The word is peace, because we get to take hold of this. We're in this room. What a moment. What a moment we're having right now. I wonder if you can maybe relate to Jesus' mom. You've gone through something, or you've gone through some things, and what it's caused is a death of daylight. Everything feels dark, everything feels night, everything feels like shades of gray. And here's the truth. It might not even have been something that you've gone through. It's just a season that you find yourself in, and all of a sudden everything is shades of gray and you can't figure out how you got there, but here you are. And I believe honestly that God showed me that there's many people here today in overflow today, joining us online today. And even over the last hours, you've come to this point where you think it's always gonna be like this. It's always gonna be dark. It's always gonna be dismal. It's always gonna be shades of gray. I believe God called you here today because he wants to speak to you. And it's just really simple. It's a real simple greeting. Good morning. Good morning. It's always darkest right before the dawn. The sun is rising. Let me put it this way. I think for some of us, you feel like you're in a dark tunnel, and you look and you look and you look, and all you can see is dark. And I guess what I want to ask you to do in this moment, Easter 2024, could you look again? Would you look again? Because I think what you'll see is light. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You're not gonna exist in shades of gray forever. You're gonna step into living color. I started this sermon with a quote, pretty dismal. Here's a small fact: you are going to die. And that's true, you know. That's true, you will. Right, like, one day your body's gonna give up. Might be all at once. Might be a slow slide, I'm not sure, but eventually your body is gonna wear out. But here's the good news. You know this. If it's your first time ever walking into a church, if it's your 5,000th time, is that even possible? Well, yeah, I guess, okay. So, you know this. You know this. You're way deeper than a body, you know that, right? I would say it this way. You are a soul. You have a body. Okay. And so your body is going to wear out, but you're not going to wear out. See, you're going to step into something called eternity. I said it earlier that when Jesus defeated death, he didn't just do it for him. He did it for all of us. The Bible calls Jesus the firstborn of the dead. The firstborn, the first of many. See, when your body wears out, you're gonna step into something called eternity, and you're gonna get a new body, which is so cool. Like, we get that little picture of Jesus showing up in that room, right? And I think to myself, that new body that I'm gonna get, like, no sickness, no disease, no suffering, no pain, but more than that, like, my vertical is about an inch and a half right now. It's gonna be massive in eternity. I guarantee you that right now. I'll even be good at golf. I can almost guarantee you that. Which is a miracle. Okay, so, but that's only part of the equation. Because sometimes our culture, we kind of paint this weird picture of eternity to the degree that it seems like, man, eternity seems like a really long, boring time. Like, we're like little fat angels on a cloud playing harps and eating Philadelphia cream cheese. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, cool, I guess. No, not cool at all. And it's nothing like that. See, sometimes we read through the Bible and we miss things. We miss things that are right in front of us. Like, there's a pretty famous passage of scripture out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And it says this: for God so loved the world. And then John 3, 17 goes on to say this: because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Here's what I'm getting at. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to save me, but he also came to save the world. Like when I get my new body, when you get your new body, we'll be recognizable, just like Jesus was when he walked into that room and they're like, whoa, there's Jesus. Recognizable, but so much more, infinitely more. That's what he's gonna do to the world. He came to save the world. One day every wrong is gonna be right. The universe will be recognizable, but infinitely more. New London, new Paris, new Rocky Mountains, new Red Deer for sure, we know that. New Chilliwack, but I guess maybe one of the best ways I could describe it to you is this. If you just took a moment right now, and I asked you to think, can you think of your best of the best moment? Just a moment where you thought, man, it doesn't get better than this, you know? That time and that place and that memory, I bet you it wouldn't take you that long. Sometimes when we go back to those moments, we think that we're looking back with regret because we might never go back there. You're actually mixed up. You're not looking back with regret. You're looking forward with hope because you're gonna be back there. Recognizable, but infinitely more. You get it? Like one of my best of the best moments. I grew up in the country near Red Deer, Alberta, on an acreage in a subdivision of acreages, and right in the middle of the subdivision was this ice rink. So during winter in Red Deer, which was about 11 and a half months of the year, they would flood that rink. And at night there was lights and we'd go out and we'd play. Sometimes with a group, sometimes it was just me and my best buddy Grant. Sometimes honestly, often it was me all by myself. I just remember those moments. I remember the skates on the ice. I remember the wind on my face. I remember seeing my breath. I remember the sound of the puck against the boards. And I remember when I would want to take a breath, I would go to the very edge of the boards and I would lean out so that the lights were behind me and I would look up into a sky full of stars. Here's my point. I can blab on and on and on. You know that about me. I can try my best to tell you I'm not going to do it justice. So here's what I'll do. I'll take you there. One day on the other side of eternity, I'll show you. We'll play hockey. I'll win. And then we'll lean out. The lights will be behind us. We'll look up into a sky full of stars. An ever expanding universe created by an infinitely creative God. This life you're living right now, sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's ugly, sometimes there's highs, sometimes there's lows. Listen. This life that you're living right now, listen, it's like the opening line. It's the opening line of the greatest story ever told. That's your future. Because Jesus saves. So I started with this quote. Here's a small fact, you're gonna die. Let me end with this quote from John chapter 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Let's pray. Jesus saves all over the world today. In big cities, in tiny villages, Jesus saves. In freezing cold and scorching heat, Jesus saves. Everything that needed to be done for your salvation has already been accomplished. He came for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. Your sins can be forgiven. Your hurts can be healed. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow, and the promise of eternity is yours. Everything that needed to be done to purchase it has already been done. Your next step is just to accept what Jesus bought for you. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if today is the day you're gonna say, yes, Jesus, I want that. Can you just raise your hand nice and high so I can pray for you right now? Amazing, amazing. If you're in overflow and you can raise your hand, that'd be beautiful. If you're watching online and it's safe to do so. Yeah, you can put your hands down. I'm going to pray out loud, and I ask you to just pray silently along with me. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for me, so I ask you to be my Savior. I hand you the regrets and the pain from my past, and I accept your forgiveness and your healing. But thank you that you rose again for me. So I invite you to be my Lord. Lead me into life, real life, today, tomorrow, and forever. In your name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate. Three things. One, don't leave. Don't you leave for two reasons. Number one, I want to take a moment. We're five services in, and this band has been absolutely incredible. Can we thank them for being absolutely incredible? She comes, she goes. I don't know. They got an incredible song for you. Don't want to miss it. Secondly, Dave Poole is sick, man. I mean, it is his fault that parking was so bad, so you can talk to him about that after the service. But he's gonna haul his carcass up here and have a big announcement for you at the end, so you should at least listen to it, right? A second thing I wanna tell you is I talked all sermon long about the fact that I think salvation is a someday thing. Like, we're saved. Like, when we put our faith in Jesus, we step into eternity, okay? That's beautiful. But I also believe it's a day-by-day thing. Because here's the thing, I'm a follower of Jesus. But sometimes I really can relate to Mary Magdalene. I'm my own biggest critic. I beat myself up. Can you relate? I need to be reminded who I am regularly. Sometimes I can relate to Peter. Because I think that I got to run and run and run and run and run to prove myself. Sometimes I got to be reminded that I just need to rest in who Jesus already says I am. Sometimes I can relate to the 50 people in the room where things don't always work out exactly as I hoped that they worked out or as I expected. And sometimes in place of my anxiety, I need peace. What about you? And sometimes I can relate to Jesus' mom. Sometimes the world feels a little bit dark. It feels a little bit shades of gray. And there are moments, regular moments, that I gotta be reminded that the sun is risen. And I don't have to settle for shades of gray. I can step into living color. What about you? See, I think we need to be reminded of that regularly so you know where I'm going. And some of you are at church every week, and that's awesome. And some of you, this is your first time ever showing up, or you come every Easter, which is so cool. But this just hit me. I got an idea. I got a plan. It's a brilliant plan. Here it is. What about if we did this? Same time, same place, next week. Deal? Deal, deal. Happy Easter, everybody. You can stand up.
There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. If it's not
What an incredible weekend. Hey, shout out to Overflow. I know there's a lot of people sitting out in Overflow. Shout out to you guys. We see you there. Well, hey, we want to see you outside after. And trust me, this time you can really hang out with us. Spend some time celebrating. But there's one more quick thing I want to say. We often hear from a lot of people that being here, they get really overwhelmed. Lots of feelings, lots of emotions. And what I know is we call it the Holy Spirit. It's God with us. It's God actually trying to get your attention, touch your heart. And this is actually a home for you. We really believe that for a lot of you, this is a homecoming. And so we don't want to just see you next Easter. We'd love to see you next Sunday. So we'd be happy to have you and see you there. See you outside. Happy Easter, Chilliwack.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And to stay up to date with all things Southside, follow @Southside_Church on Instagram. We love you guys. The best is yet to come.